Dear Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of mercy and grace to appreciate you for the gift of life, to see another beautiful, the beginning of another week. We thank you for your blessings and cares this past week. And this very month, we thank you. Today is the fifth day of the month. Lord, thank you for taking us through again another month, caring for all our needs, both physical and spiritual. We thank you because you already made provision for everything. Nothing meets you on emergency, because you have made preparation to meet our needs. We thank you. Thank you for being all sufficient, more than able to intervene in our situation. We thank you. Thank you for joining us. This you granted to travelers, those short and long journeys. Thank you for healings. Thank you for financial blessings. Thank you for answers to prayers. Thank you for the spiritual blessings we receive from your word, your fellowship around your word with our brethren. We are grateful to you. Thank you for another opportunity to come before you to check up with our soul salvation, because we are needy people. Your house is house of correction, Lord, where we accompany our lives with your word. We are here again. We pray for spiritual discernment, Lord, as we are expected on a daily basis to improve, not to remain stagnant. Lord Jesus, we pray today that you will break the bands of the enemy, Lord, that wants to keep us bound. As many as the enemy is keeping bound in health, Lord, in sin, in unrighteousness, in fear and in doubt, Lord, in so many ways, we pray that as you said in your word, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their enemies. May the yoke of the enemy be broken today. May your people be given true liberty, independence, in the name of Jesus Christ. Take control of the entire services as we stand in your presence, asking for mercy and forgiveness of our sins, that nothing will stand between us and you, and that you will be gracious to us. Let your word be inspired to our hearts, for that is the only way that we can be partakers of the blessings when faith is mixed with your word. Thank you, Father. At the end of the day, all the glory and honor will be yours, for we know that you will meet our needs. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you. Let's open my Bible to Revelation chapter 1. As we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seals. I read Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to the end. Then I read Revelation chapter 2. I will. After that, I will ask you to sit. After reading Revelation chapter 1, 16 to 20, you sit down. Then I will take Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. Alright. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the church, seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You can please be seated. I'll take Revelation chapter 2. I'll read it to the sixth church age, and that is to verse 27. I'll pick the messengers there, and then I will come to chapter 3 as well. Alright, verse 1, I'll read verse 8, I'll read verse 12, I'll read verse 18, and then continue that way. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Revelation, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this thing saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, this thing saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The Lord bless the reading of this word to our hearts. God bless you. We are continuing with the criteria under the background to the revelation of the seven seals. We continue with the criteria for the selection of the messengers. Amen. We started with Wesley, John Wesley, last Sunday, and that is the fifth church age messenger. So we, I want to start all over from where we started from Martins, so that we blend it together with the sixth one. That's Smyrna church age. Sorry. The messenger to this age is the best known messenger. The messenger to this age is the best known messenger. Alright. The messenger to this age is the best known messenger of all the ages. It was Martin Luther. We have traveled from the first messenger, who was Brother Paul. We moved to Smyrna messenger, which was Irenaeus. Then we move on to the next messenger, the third messenger, We look at Thyatira as well, the fourth messenger, and the same criteria that the prophet used, you know, to identify the ministry of Brother Paul, well, was also used to identify the ministry of these people. The reason cannot be overemphasized. It is because God does not change in his ways. Whatever he has started with, he will continue with it. That must not leave us. The prophet told us it is a great key of identifying God's pattern of working. And that is why there is nobody who will rise up today to claim to be anything when they are placed upon this criteria. They will be found wanting. And that stabilizes us. When there is no standard, everybody will do what they want. You can just take decisions on your own. You choose your own standard. But when there is a universal standard, as far as God is concerned, there is a universal standard of determining who the messenger to an age is. And the prophet made us to know that these messengers, when they were playing their roles, they did not even know the roles they were playing, because they were part of the mysteries that were to be revealed by the last messenger. So they wouldn't know it. And that's why the prophet said that he doubts whether any age recognized their messenger, except in the first church, where Paul visibly and, you know, openly identify himself to the people that I am the messenger of God to you, I'm an apostle, I'm this and this, I magnify my office. He has to do that to them so that, just like the prophet was told that you have to get the people to believe you, he has to do that. He was the first messenger to the Gentile church age. Praise be to God. So, we are not just playing words. We are not just trying to, you know, waste our time, as, you know, because we have different level of patience and temperament. But, whatever, whatever, these are things that the prophet talked about, and we cannot just, like I said, we cannot just enter into revelation of the seven seas without having some basic understanding that we'll be making reference to when we really enter. And that is why in the wisdom of God, God allowed Abraham to preach the exposition of the seven church ages before the time was ripe for the revelation of the seven seas. And if you have gone through the revelation of the seven seas yourself, you see that if you don't have the understanding of the seven church ages, you won't get it. So because the revelation of the seven seas looked to the exposition of the seven church ages. Praise be to God. So the messenger to this fifth age is the best known messenger of all the ages. It was Martin Luther. Abraham used the same criteria of Paul being truthful to the word, of being unorganized. He has evident fruit of his ministry, and so on. Martin Luther was a brilliant scholar of gentle disposition. He was studying to be a lawyer when the lingering illness of his near friend caused him to become serious concerning the spiritual condition of his life. God used that to wake him up. He entered the Augustinian convent of Erfurt in 1505. There he studied philosophy and also the word of God. He lived the life of his severest penance, but all the outward acts could not banish his sense of sin. Nothing can take away our sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing a man can do to wash away his sins
A man cannot do evil and then not turn to do right, so that they can use the right to make up for the wrong he has done, when the wrong he has done has not been cleared messagically. The wrong he has done is still standing. As far as God is concerned, if the person has not cleared that wrong he has done in the past messagically. I use the word messagically because there is a way that Abraham taught us our past wrong has to be cleared. Remember, the Bible speaks about it. The people out there in the denomination, they have access to the Bible. But because they do not understand that at this end time, God has made known his way to his people of how to come back to him. Let me say this basically. The Roman Catholic Church forgives sins, like we were saying last Sunday. When somebody has sinned in the congregation, they go to the priest will go and do this penance. You can shout, make Hail Mary, or go and pray certain amount, or go and walk through this place several times, or clean the entire church. Whatever punishment the priest will feel is okay. Rabbi said, but it's wrong. He said, the way the church forgives sins is through water baptism. When a sinner repents, he goes to water. And repenting, he's baptized or she's baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission. For the remission of sin. No man has right to forgive another person's sin. Even when somebody offends you and you forgive that person, the person still has to acknowledge that he has not only sinned again. If what the person has done to you is breaking the scripture, the person has offended God first because he has broken God's word. And that is what we must understand. If I have done wrong to you, I must have to understand that this wrong I have done to this brother. What does the word of God say about it? Because any way you do wrong to me, it is not me naturally you are doing the wrong to. It's God you are doing it to. If it relates to breaking God's word, if it relates to breaking God's word, it's not me really. But being that I am the vessel, I am at the receiving end of that. Let me just put that one. I am at the receiving end of the wrong that the person has done. The other person is at the receiving end of the evil that I've done him or her. For me now to come to that person to say, please forgive me, I must recognize that what I've done is against God. Going to that person to ask for forgiveness is not enough. If I have not recognized that what I've done is also to God. So after going to that person to ask for apology, I must now go to God and say, God, forgive me. It's two ways. That's how our past sins are remitted. I mean, after water baptism, the prophet said, after your sins of the past are remitted, the sin that you keep that follows you again, after that, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you keep making it right. And that's where to make it right. It's not to cover anything and say, we are brethren. You are sitting on a keg of gunpowder. After all, we are brothers. You are sitting on a keg of gunpowder. God is not going to overlook sin. A brother can overlook it. A sister can overlook it. But God is not going to overlook it. A brother can say, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, sister can say, well, after all, it's a brother. We will understand that maybe he hasn't got the grace. God will not understand it like that. If God will understand that, will he judge the world? When Adam and Eve sinned the first instant, did they overlook it? And they were the first people to be on the face of the earth. The first human being, Adam derived from God's hand. Eve was formed from Adam. And both of them, look at God's attitude to it. He drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Drove them out. From that moment, man began to suffer. He will suffer hunger. He will have to till the ground. And before, he will just be hungry and his appetite will go towards any of the fruits. He will just go there. Whatever he wanted, he will just pluck, eat, get to his wife. He was enjoying his life. No mosquito bite, no too much cold, no too much normal, perfect
Eden. But once they crossed the line, and God has already said, of this you shall not do. And when they did it, God did not overlook it.
He could have overlooked it as the great God that could do anything. But you will be crossing his word. And I want to tell you, in order to atone for the sins of human beings, that is why Jesus Christ has to come as that Almighty who has to condescend and come and wear flesh and come and appear in flesh. To suffer the thing that we suffer as human beings, to suffer hunger, to suffer thirst, to suffer heat, to trek, humiliated. He was called Beelzebub, he was called a bastard, the creator of heaven and earth, because he disguised to come and pay penalty of our sins. They misunderstood him. So, the penalty of sin is grievous. We shouldn't overlook it. In your life, don't overlook it. Because God is not overlooking it. God will pen it down. And that's why the Bible says some people's sins go ahead of them. And those are who have made it right in the light of the message of the hour. Their sins have gone ahead. It's not to cover something up. I'm trying to be smart to the people, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your neighbors. You are trying to be smart. You are being smart towards hell. A smartness towards hell. You are not being wise towards the pathway that leads to God's kingdom. But you might deal with that. If I'm Ogman, Ogman, you are the fool of all fools. We should not sit on our sins. We must have discernment of our lives. Not something that you can cover up. Nothing is covered before God. It's only because God is not talking. He's talking, really. You understand what I mean when I say it's not talking? He's talking. It's part of talking that you are hearing. He's talking. Don't wait.
May God be gracious to us.
Nothing atones for sin. Roman Catholic Church is a deceiver. Deceiver. And churches who came out of them, they lean on them a little bit, carry the same spirit. And once they organize, the Spirit of God leaves them. And the people worshiping in them, they are not receiving the touch of the Spirit in their souls. They can get anointing in their spirit and do signs and wonders, preach very wonderfully, but they are not converted. And what you don't have, you can't give it to another person. If somebody comes forward to me and I say it means some amount of money, that, let me not just mention any amount. If I don't have it, there's no way I can give it. It is what I can afford that I can give. And that's my financial capacity. Is that not? But anybody that can, you can just come to the person and say, oh, please, I need this amount of money. And the person is saying, oh, yes, it's sufficient. And that's the Almighty God. But for a human being, so what we have with us is a great thing that will make us to keep checking our lives on daily basis. When I speak, I must check myself. In this call of speaking, have I offended God? And for you to come to that, that means you have discernment of yourself. That means the Spirit of God is in you to make you to examine yourself on daily basis. Because the Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. It takes the Holy Spirit, dwelling of the Holy Spirit, to make you to do that. So that when you are taking a wrong step, it corrects you. When you are taking a wrong step, it corrects you. It's not going to leave you it's not going to leave you 2, 3, 4 years. What if you die because of that?
The Spirit will keep correcting you because he must wash you by the washing of the water by the word. That's the essence of the word, is to wash. The water of separation. The word of God is to separate us from our sins. As you listen to the word, your attitude to your wife, your attitude to your husband, to your children, your attitude to people around you, your attitude to brethren, wrong conception about your brother, wrong conception about your sister. And when you have wrong conception about your brother, wrong conception about your sister, you must go and meet the brother, meet the sister, and clear your wrong conception. Or else you have a wrong idea about that person. And when you have wrong idea about that person, it will affect your attitude to him or to her. We are speaking the truth. We are giving the word. And that is part of what the revelation of the seven seed is, to how to live. That's what that revelation is all about. How we are to live in a way that pleases God.
God bless you.
All right. Where are we?
Yeah.
He lived the life of Severus. Sorry, it's like I'm missing myself here. Okay, thank you. I'll see. All right.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. He lived the life of severe penance, but all the outward acts could not banish his sense of sin, which the Holy Spirit takes away. It takes away that sense of sin from a believer, that you are no longer a sinner, slave to sin. You have been delivered. But so for you not to be a slave to sin, it cleanses you on every moment. If you have seen the prophet likening a Christian to a dove, that he has something in him that will not allow him to hit just anything but the grain. And the dove has something that cleanses his body. It doesn't bathe in the sand like a bird we do. If you have fowl, if you put your fowl outside where there is sand, they are going to have revival. I raise them. Once I gather little chicks of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, put them inside sawdust. You just see them spread their feathers like this. They begin to They will just be swimming. Then I will look at them and say, look at this. They are trying to bathe. That's what they are doing. But the dove does not bathe like that with sand and the rest of it. You see, the body, the prophet said, there is an hole that cleanses from inside outside. And that's why he likes a Christian to a dove. So, we are grateful to God. God knows what we need to cleanse us, and has given us his spirit by the word. The spirit takes the word to cleanse us. All right? He said, I tormented myself to death to make peace with God. He said, but I was in darkness and found it not. The vicar general of his order, Stupids, helped him to gain the insight that his salvation will have to be the experience of an inner work rather than a ritual. With this encouragement, he further sought God. Later, he became a priest. As yet, he was not saved. You see what we say? People can become preachers, and yet, they are yet to be Christians. See, that is not to discourage you, sisters. Somebody comes to you saying he's a minister. Pray very well. Pray very well to know whether this preacher is a Christian. Whether he's a Christian. Many people are preaching today in Malaga that are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like it happens among the congregation too. That's how it is.
It's a gift. Gift and calling of God there without repentance.
And let me tell you something. When people who have gifts, when people who have gifts, you know,
they sit under a minister who has the grace to steer their gifts,
it'll come up. Are you getting me now?
There are other preachers, there are preachers that can, even there are other preachers that will sit down where another preacher is preaching, it will steer them. They feel like preaching too.
Because what they are hearing is inspiration from the Almighty. So that is why the person must go and study the sermons to know what God requires. It's not just to come and somebody standing here. Even if a sister come and stand here and reads the quote, inspiration will fall on her. This place is a place of inspiration. But it's contrary. The prophet said, I know there are many women that purport to see, to have prophecy, to prophesy. He said, though you can preach more than I preach. Women. But the fact is that many of our people today, they are not patient. Don't rush into marriage. There are qualifications of getting married. Our children are not following that pattern. The first is that be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many parents push their children into marriage. Mama God goes to buy ya. Mama God to buy ya. What a parent should do is to encourage the daughter or the son. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Somebody can live moral life. It doesn't mean you are saved. Deeper lifers, they live moral life. Many church members, they live moral lives. How many beds is that, sir? Okay.
Every person that is well raised will live moral life. That's what other religions teach. You will even see some Muslim, you will wonder, you will say, how can a Muslim live like this? He's just a moral person. And there are Christians too that are also moral. You will see them. You will say, oh, wonderful.
That's why many brothers make mistakes. They will see denomination. They will see good virtue in those women. Or in those men, they will say that it's a very fine brother. It's a very fine sister.
Yeah, it is. It is when you now marry, and matter has to do with God's word. That's when a denomination brother will not tell you that you have to be wearing trousers. So,
moral brother, lo marry.
May God be our help. Pray very well, and praying for Holy Ghost is not when you are close to marriage. Just like Pastor Ahamba preached the other night, he said, maybe it's the evangelist, the person will get Holy Ghost marriage, Holy Ghost.
I'm not saying that to ridicule anybody.
It should not be when you are about to get married that you not be desperate about Holy Ghost. Be desperate right while you are yet to hit the time of marriage. Because prayer of age will play on you.
It will make you to take decision that you ought not to take. May the Lord be our help. Well, it goes this way this morning. Abi? So let's take it like that.
So he tormented himself
until he was well guided by his spiritual guy.
With this encouragement, the father sought God. Later he became a priest. As yet he was not saved. You see? And he was a priest. He became an avid and deep student of the world and of the great theologians, theological works, Esther. He was sought out as a teacher and preacher for his depth of knowledge and great sincerity. To fulfill a vow he had made to himself, he went to Rome. There he saw the futility of the church's imposed works that were to bring salvation, and the word of God struck home to his heart. The just shall live by faith.
On his return home,
the evangelical truth of this scripture flooded his mind, and he was set free from sin and born into the kingdom of God.
It takes the world, the revelation of the world, to do it.
After this, he was elevated to doctor of divinity and commissioned to devote his whole life to studying and faithfully expand and defend the Holy Scripture. This he did, and with such effect that his heart and the hearts of those around him were deeply fixed upon the truth of the war. The war soon came into open conflict with the abuses of church creeds and doctrines.
The Lord bless you. Until next time, when the Lord gives us opportunity.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives to witness the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just ended, every second, minute, hour, day of the week. Your grace has never departed from us for 1 second. We gathered our going out and coming in, we met with all our needs, we fought our battles. Who protected us, who go against all powers or darkness, that are always there, rally like a rally lion, no seeking whom they will devour. Father, we are very grateful to know that. You would have formed us in our mother's womb. You have a purpose for bringing us here. And you have assured us that until that purpose is accomplished, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can take us out of this place. Thank you for the message of the age. Thank you for the message. A portion we have just heard. The message is given unto us to guide us how we must live, how we must act, how we must react, steps to take in order to be converted. We have listened to a portion again this morning. We pray, oh God, that in whichever way it affects us, may your grace and your blessings accompany your word, may be our portion, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, righteous Father, you are giving us this message to prepare us for your coming. Lord Jesus, therein lay that very faith. We pray, O God, it will not condemn any of us or witness against any of us on the day of judgment. Thank you, Father, whatsoever those needs might be physical needs, be material needs, be financial needs, be spiritual needs, may you supply, O Father. We absolutely depend on you and you alone. They that put their trust in thee, you have promised, they will never be put to shame. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant that you have used and replenished him for the virtue that has led thee. When we lay the rest of his services into your hands, Lord, we are looking unto you for more of your blessings. Thank you, Father. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.